Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Holiday season is fully underway, and that means every department store is playing Jingle Bells and Santa Claus is Coming to Town from open till close. But singer-songwriter Josh Rouse has a different idea of what Christmas music can sound like. He's a prolific songwriter with 11 albums to his credit since his 1998 critically acclaimed debut, Dressed Up Like Nebraska. The songwriter him took on the challenge with album number 12. The holiday sounds of Josh Rouse is full of original, often very groovy holiday songs, some inspired by Our Fair City, other by Josh's time living in Spain with his family for more than a decade. For example, let's take a listen to Sleigh Brother Bill. Happy to have Josh Rouse in studio. Hi, Josh.
Hi.
Who's on the piano with you?
This is Brad Jones. He's the producer of many of my records, and this one in particular, the Holiday Sounds of Josh Rouse.
Will you and Brad play a holiday song for us?
Yes, we'll do a New York holiday song. One, two, three, one, two, three.
Really coming down, looks so pretty on the avenues, got money to spend, saving up dimes, nickels and pennies, a weekend away with some friends. Here we are, let's spend it together. Holiday, New York holiday. Stepped on a train, everyone was smiling. Spent a couple hours with cousins in Queens. Say they're moving out to Coney Island. The neighborhood was rough, the rent's rather cheap. I scared around Rockefeller. Holiday, New York holiday. Holiday. There's a little drummer boy at Lincoln Center. I think I need a break from the cold and the wind. If we do this again next year, I'll bring a heavier sweater. I think I feel a chill setting in. let's stay here forever. Holiday, New York holiday. Holiday, holiday.
That's from the album, The Holiday Sounds of Josh Rouse. So Josh, when did you get it in your head that you wanted to make a holiday album?
Well, I've been doing a song since I had started having children, and that was about 10 years ago. One every season.
One song, not one child.
Yeah.
No, just to be clear.
not on what a singer-songwriter makes. I had more time on my hands. I guess so. Raising children and being around the house and kind of getting—I've always been I like the Christmas time. It's one of my favorite times of year. But I think I had time to kind of sit around with younger kids and hey, let's do a holiday song, so or a Christmas song. And it's been in the—I've just been collecting them. And a few years ago, I realized I have a bunch. Maybe I should do a record.
Is there something different about writing a holiday Christmas song than writing a normal Josh Rouse tune?
Yeah, it's easier. I don't have to, you know, it's like doing something for a movie or commercial. You know, there's already a theme there. I'm not writing about a relationship or...
You're not deeply mining your soul.
Exactly. It can be fun and light, so it's a bit easier lyrically.
So in some of the articles I've read, you mentioned that you would like to have made an album, a holiday album that could be played any time of the year. Is there like a holiday song that, for you that just works any time of the year?
Well, I think about 5 years ago, yeah, a holiday song. Well, the Vince Guaraldi stuff, any time of mm-hmm. the year. But it was Nick Lowe who made... a record about 5 years ago, and it was a holiday record, and I was still listening to it in March, and I said, I think if I'm going to do one, I want the same thing. I don't want it to be too Christmassy to where it feels weird to listen to it in spring. But his record had more of a kind of an R&B flavor, and the production was just sounded like the production on his songs, which I think that's what Brad and I were going for, just it to sound like a Josh Rouse song, but the lyrics to be slightly more less melancholy.
Well, there are melancholy holiday songs.
Sure, yeah.
Do you? Why do you think there is a tradition of melancholy around the holidays? And does that happen for you?
No, not too often. I mean, no. I usually stay in the holiday spirit. You know, I did spend a lot of time in Spain and spending a lot of holidays away from my parents and with my in-laws, but mm-hmm. it's all been really good. It's all been a positive experience.
So you recorded this album in just a few days.
Yeah.
How can we hear that on the album? What impact does that have on the sound of the album?
I think the idea was, you know, if you're going to do a record like this, you can't do it one at a time, so it needs to feel like slightly loose and fun, and that's what you can hear on here. And warm.
And warm.
And yeah, all those adjectives that make it Christmassy.
Where did you record it?
Alex the Great. It's Brad Jones' studio, who's here on piano. I've recorded 1972 in Nashville and a couple other ones there in that studio. So it has a lot of meaning to me, that special place.
My guest is Josh Rouse. His new album is called The Holiday Sounds of Josh Rouse. How did this... When you sat down, you said you did it quickly. You had the songs in the can, some of them.
Yes.
How did that feel for you compared to the way you've made your other albums?
Not too much different. I mean, the one I did before this, I was doing things. It was more of a laptop record. I was doing things one at a time. So because I knew we were going to do it in a couple days, I really had to have all the songs down, mm-hmm. me performing them on my own, because the musicians were so good. I knew that it was going to be take two that we were going to keep. So I wanted my part to be really good. That's how. And usually when you're making a record, there's a few weeks to make it. You can make a lot more mistakes and not worry about it so much. Or, oh, I'll fix that later on, but no, I had to really have it down. So,
Will you play another track from the album?
Sure. This one is about just letting go during the holidays and enjoying your time with the family and not trying to worry too much. It's called Easy Man. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. Home on Christmas Eve, as I always am. Kids are stringing up the tree. There's turkey in a bag. Going with the flow. Hanging out with the in-laws. I do the best I can. Come Christmas time, I'm an easy man. Some things never change. Maxed out the credit cards. The season brings the best of me. Oh, snowman in the yard. Going with the flow. Hanging out with the in-laws. They're really not so bad. Come Christmas time, I'm an easy man. Blinking lights on the windows. Forecasted calls for snow. Now I'm happy as a clam. Come Christmas time, I'm an easy man. Oh, Christmas time, I'm an easy man. This season brings the best of me.
That was from The Holiday Sounds of Josh Rouse. Josh Rouse is in studio. We'll have more with him after a break. This is All of It. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest this hour is Josh Rouse. Joining us on piano is Brad Jones. We're talking about Josh's new album, The Holiday Sounds of Josh Rouse. I should have asked you at the top of the interview. So you were raised in Nebraska. You lived in Spain. You're in Nashville, but you wrote a song called New York Holiday.
Yeah, that was inspired by, I think it was 2002, and I was on tour on the East Coast, and we were driving into the city, and it started snowing. And we were in one of those great conversion vans with a carpet inside, and it was all warm and cozy. And my drummer, who was driving, put ice skating. He put a Vince Guaraldi tune on from the Charlie Brown Christmas, and it just fit perfect. And that was kind of what I wanted to capture in the song, was that vibe.
Besides working on a holiday album, you've got so many other projects going on. You scored a film.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And what did you like about doing that?
Well, I liked that I won like a
fancy award.
A fancy award called a Goya for it. I wasn't expecting that, but no, I really it was my first film, and I enjoyed doing music to film, doing to the scenes, and trying to bring out the emotion of a scene. And the toughest part was at the end. There was a 8-minute scene that I had to score at the end of it. And the director, he came to the studio and he's like, okay, I really need the audience to cry here. You got to make them cry. I said, wow. So found out it just takes very few notes, just a few little notes on the piano that worked. And he said, it made me cry. I think it's going to work. And I think it worked. So,
how did you choose those few little notes?
Is
it a minor chord?
I don't even know. It was just kind of with the movements of the film, what was happening, just putting the notes in the right. I think there were just 3 or 4 notes that happened in the right spot, and that was it.
How did you feel about that? Someone telling you,
I felt a lot of pressure. Yeah, I need you to make him cry here. And I was like, okay. And then I think I just watched a lot of movies with really, you know, sad scenes in them. And that was kind of the key, was less is more.
What was it like to watch the film without any music before you had to start composing?
Yeah, I overcomposed. You know, he wouldn't say anything to me, and I just did stuff for everything. He's like, "Oh, I'm not even going to use that in the movie anymore." So it was a lot of work. But yeah, I mean, the music makes it happen. You know, I mean, I'm glad the movie did well, and I'm glad my music was grateful that my music was a part of it and helped it have success.
So you're telling me there's like a half vault full of music that didn't make the film that could be an album?
Perhaps? Yeah, there were scenes cut. I don't know where they are, though.
My guest is Josh Rouse. And Josh, I have to tell you, I didn't even really know you had a holiday album. What happened was I was listening to 1972 walking. I just, you know, sort of was scrolling through my music and I was walking to work. I was like, oh, I wonder what Josh Rouse is up to. Maybe we should have him on the show. And then I Googled and I saw that you had this holiday album out. I just happen to love that record.
Yeah.
I just really, really do. For me, it's sort of a, I don't know if you feel this way, but I felt like it was a breakthrough record.
Yes.
You sort of commercially?
It was.
What was that like at the time? Because you worked for a long time before that.
Yeah, I had three records before that, a lot of touring, and it was slowly building the whole time. So it was a lot of fun, but it was exhausting. I mean, the amount of touring and, you know, playing a concert and then having three or four interviews that day, and my voice went out a bunch. I really wasn't ready for that amount of work, I don't think. But it was fun. It was fun to kind of go places or restaurants or just go and hear the music everywhere, you know. It wasn't a hit record in, say, like Roxanne by the Police or, you know, something, you know, that massive. But it was fun to know that people were, to get a lot of attention for it, I guess, for
where
something
was
you've done.
Where was the place that you heard it that surprised you?
Like hotel lobbies, just really? Being exhausted and waiting to check in, and then the song will come out and go, okay, so maybe this is worth it.
My guest is Josh Rouse. I asked, this is just one of those things you get to do sometimes when you have a radio show, I asked if he would play a song from 1972.
Yeah, and we'll do one. It's called Love Vibration. All right. Cool.
Spread the love vibration.
talking about. Spread the love vibration. Uh-huh. Spread the love vibration. Uh-huh. Spread the love vibration.
That's Josh Rouse from 1972, a CD I still own.
A CD?
I own a CD.
All right.
That still. I like the little hat you're wearing on the cover.
Oh, yeah.
You've come back to the States. You were in Spain for about a decade?
Yeah, that's right.
Why'd you come back? Where are you living?
Well, in Nashville. Yeah, I went to high school and college just outside of Nashville and started my musical career there. So that definitely feels like home here in the mm-hmm. States. And, you know, wanted to bring the kids back and let them have the opportunity to grow up in two different countries, which is special. I didn't leave the country till I was 25. So,
wow.
So yeah, they're really having a great childhood.
When you moved to Spain, were you fluent in Spanish?
No. I had high school Spanish. And then I took the first couple months. I said, I really got to, you know, get up to speed here. So I took lessons every day. And it took a, you know... It's always good to have, you know, I was dating a girl that was my future, my wife-to-be, and that helps because you're around it a lot and you really have to learn it.
And you're motivated.
Yes, that's right.
Did living in Spain, what impact did it have on your songwriting, if any?
It was weird. It didn't really, I mean, definitely being on the Mediterranean in the sun, but the time I moved over there, I really got into Brazilian music. And that kind of fits there as well. It's not a tropical place, but with the climate and a very long day, there's a lot of sunlight. I got into that more than I got into flamenco. I like flamenco, but there's too many minor chords in it for me. It's a little too dramatic. So I like the Brazilian stuff that's a little bit lighter.
Yeah. Nashville today is very different than Nashville even a decade ago, 15
That's right.
years ago. What's changed about it that you like? What's changed about it that you think, I would have liked the old days better?
I like that there's a lot of new people moving to, a lot of musicians and a lot of, I guess what we call now the creative class has moved there. People from Brooklyn or Los Angeles or people that work from home. And I like it. I like young people creating stuff and being around.
My upstairs neighbor moved to Nashville.
Oh,
songwriter, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And the thing I don't like is the property prices have really gone up. I bought a house there in, I think, 2000. It was very cheap. And now when I moved back a few years ago, I was like, wow, I'm paying that for this. And yeah. But no, the traffic is starting to get bad. But, you know, the great thing about there is I live on an acre. I'm, you know, space, which is great.
What's your next project?
I don't have one. This is it.
How does that feel?
Good. Yeah, I am playing a lot of concerts. So I kind of feel like I have a lot of records. So putting out new music for me is it's still exciting, but I think fans, I kind of feel like, you know, when you go see someone that you've known for a long time, you want to hear some of their earlier catalog, and I don't mind going around and playing Love Vibration or It's the Nighttime or those songs that I've had around for 15 years. I'm glad I'm still able to do it, and people still show up. So that's what I'm doing now.
So I imagine your concerts then feel sort of community-like?
Yeah, and I think it's nostalgic for the fans, and it's fun. I was just telling you, I grew up with you, kind of. You know, we're from the same generation,
yeah.
And I get people that come to the concerts and go, you know, I've been listening to you since I was 16, which, you know, I'm a bit older than that, but it's fun to go, I've been listening to you since, you know, for a very long time, and it's great.
It is great. It is really fun when someone comes and says that. I love it.
Yeah, and that you've been a part of my, a guy last night was like, you were a part of my life for a few years, you know, I listened to you every day, or, you know, I saw you every day, you know, so in a small way you were, you know, it means something.
Well, it's nice to be a part of your life again.
Yes.
My guest has been Josh Rouse, the name of his new release, The Holiday Sounds of Josh Rouse. Also want to thank Brad Jones on piano, who also produced the record. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
This is All of It on WNYC. Next on All of It, we know the holidays can be overwhelming at times. In today's Friday Rundown, we'll talk about how to deal with the holiday blues. Plus, we'll share the best digital giving sites and apps for donating this season. Stick around.